talk about keeping in step with the Spirit. And I want to start with a question tonight, not to answer out loud, but how many of you, have you ever felt this way that like sometimes you just feel like all you ever do is apologize and repent? You ever feel like that? Maybe in your relationship with your spouse or the relationship with your children or just in your relationship with God, that you're like, it's just a constant, like you're constantly like, man, I didn't want to do that. Like, I can't believe I yelled at my kids again. I can't believe that I got mad at my spouse again. I can't believe that this happened. Like, it's the same. Like, I'm still dealing with anger over and over and over and over. And here's the deal with me. Like, I've been a Christian a long time. And sometimes I get really frustrated because I'm like, dude, I should be further along, right? I should not be up in the front on a Sunday morning confessing to the church that I ordered off the senior menu. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, dude, I'm better than that, right? Like, I know better than that. And I know some people like, that's not even a conviction for me. Like, you just do it. That's okay. But I'm still like, you're still hung up on that? Like, yeah, I'm like, I know better. Right? Because a lie is a lie. There is no such thing as a white lie. It's either the truth or a lie. Come on, somebody. And so I'm just like, dude, I know better than to do that, right? I should be further along than that. I should do better than that. And so sometimes I just feel like, man, all I ever do is confess my shortcomings. Right? I don't know if you ever felt like that, but why is it that we have to constantly apologize and confess and repent over the same things over and over and over and over? And how many of you know we all have areas where that's just true, right? You have to constantly go back to God and say, God, I'm sorry, or go back to that person and say, hey, I'm sorry, right? Like apologies should be a part of your life, not all consuming, but how many know like when you mess up, you need to fess up, right? And so, but here's the reason, right? The reason that I have to apologize and confess and that whole deal is because really, really, really simple. And that is because I get from time to time out of step with the Spirit of God, right? I get out of step with the Holy Spirit. Like I sometimes decide to do what I think is best. Come on, somebody. Anybody do that? Right? I sometimes get in a place where I think I know what's best. I lean on my own understanding, right? Instead of keeping in step with the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we're honest, all of us have areas of life where we would just, if we were honest, we'd say, I'm the same way. Right? Like I always like, right? Like, you, I mean, there's just places and times, right? Like where you, like, you know, but, and it's frustrating, right? Because you're just like, dude, I don't want to keep going back to the same thing. I don't want to keep going back to the same addiction. I don't want to have the same argument, right? I don't want to run back to gossip. I don't want to run back to whatever it is that you constantly run back to. And all of us have something that we constantly run back to, right? It's a battle. It's a constant battle, right? And here's the deal, though. Here should make us feel a little bit better, and that is that Paul fought the same battle. Isn't that right? Here's what it says in Romans chapter number 7, verse number 15. It says, I do not understand what I do. You ever do it? Like, I don't understand. Like, I don't understand why I go through the drive-thru, and I know it's not going to be a good experience. And my patience is going to be every single time. Anybody? Like, I don't understand. Paul's like, I don't understand what I do. For the thing that I don't want to do, I do. But what I hate, that's what I do. For what I want to do, I don't do. And what I hate, I do. Like, the struggle is real, right? But what if we could actually do something about it? What if we could decide that, hey, we're going to stop doing what we don't want to do? How many know there's a better way? I was having lunch with somebody today, and they were talking about schedules, and like, you know, and like, schedules are killing me. And like, here's the deal. We set our schedule. Right? I read an article today, 10 reasons why no is a beautiful word. Like, right? Like, just know is a beautiful word. Because listen, you set your schedule. If you're so busy, like, guess who made the schedule? And they're like, well, this is the world we live in. It only is the world we live in because it's the one that we created. Right? And so I get convicted. And again, I'm like, God, I'm sorry. I should know better. Right? The things I don't want to do, I keep doing. Right? And so Paul gives us some insight on how we can stay in step with the Spirit so we're led by the Spirit and not by our feelings or our emotions or what we think. Right? So here's what it says in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. Again, I put the notes in your on YouVersion. So if you'd like to do that, you can do that tonight. But here's what it says. It says, so I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with one another. Isn't that right? So that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious, and then he lists them, right? So I'm going to list them, not shooting at anybody, not trying to target anybody. But here's what it says: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage. Anybody camping out at Walmart? Right? Like fits of rage, self-ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy and drunkenness and orgies and the like. And I warn you, as I did before, those that live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But then he says, but here's what the Spirit, like we are the people of God, filled with the Spirit of God, right? As we're Christians, we're filled with the Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit, if we are followers of Jesus, we've been filled with the Spirit, is love and joy and peace and forbearance and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such things there's no law. Again, I'm just like, dude, you do the list, you're like, dude, I did it again, right? Like self-control, like sometimes, right? Right? But he says this is what should be marked by us as Christians, right? Those who belong to Christ have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So let's look at, again, what verse number 25, it says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Have you ever watched a marching band, like a high school marching band or college marching band, right? And how incredibly talented they are in keeping our military. Rob, you ever been in step with your, all right, like you're marching, like it's perfectly in step. That is the desire as Christians, what we should do and how we should desire to walk in step with the Holy Spirit, right? With that kind of precision, with that kind of, God, I'm just going to do what you want me to do. Holy Spirit, you're just going to lead me and I'm just going to do that. Because here's what I know, my life and your life falls apart when we get out of step with the Holy Spirit. Right? My life and your life gets out of step and falls apart when we start doing like, well, okay, God, I can, have you ever done this where like, God, I know you're busy, like you're managing the world, right? So I'm just going to take care of this conflict. And so, right? I'm just going to have this conversation with my spouse and I, you know, Holy Spirit, I don't need to be led. Like, I think I know what to do in this situation. And then you try to handle it, and then you find out that tone and topic and timing is very important in communication with your spouse or anyone else for that matter, and you say the right thing in the wrong tone, and all of a sudden you're like, Holy Spirit, where you are? He said, you didn't need me. Come on, right? Like that's when we get in trouble, right? When we start making financial, like, you know, can I just be honest with you, like financial decisions where it's like impulsive. Right? Like, I'm just going to go. You ever went to just look at a car lot? The next thing you know, congratulations. You come to church Sunday, it's like, who's got the new truck? Right? You're like, you didn't go for a new truck. You just went to look. Right? And next thing you know, you got hooked. Right? Because, like, right? Instead of just being led of the Spirit. And so it's just, that's when our lives fall apart. So let me just encourage you as we get in this, and I've got four quick things tonight. But what is a stronghold that you would say, man, if I could get rid of this stronghold, and just think of one, because we probably have more than one, right? Some of you are like, you know, patience is not something, like if I could be more patient, that'd be good. Or if I could control my anger, that would be good. Right? If I could quit being so frustrated, that would be good. If I could have some self-control, that would be good, right? If I could have some faithfulness, that would be like, there's all, what is a stronghold that you would say, man, if I could get this straight in my life, if I could overcome this stronghold in my life would be so much better. And again, don't mention that out loud, but just think about that as we talk about some of the things that Paul says. Listen, if you do these things, you can walk in the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit. And so four things really quickly tonight. Number one is we have to share openly. Like we have, now I'm not talking about like share your chili, right? Although, how many know that's, we're supposed to share our possessions. Isn't that right? Like if you read Scripture, it's almost, I mean, honestly, if you read Scripture, if we actually did Scripture how they did in community, it's almost cultish. Like they sold their house, like give everybody the poor money. Let me know, like you sell your house, you're like, no, I'm buying a bigger house. You're calling somebody, right? That's why we do, right? I sell my car, like, right? There's been a couple of times we've actually, I've given cars away twice. Like, I'm like, God, I don't want to do that because I could, like, come on, somebody, I could, like, I can do this for me, like, right? So sometimes God asks you to do crazy things, but so I'm not talking, but we're not talking about like physical things to give away or whatever, share, but we're to share openly, like about what we're struggling with, right? And again, just how many know that's hard to do, right? Like we come tonight and we talked about, we probably, myself included, right? We talked about a whole lot of things. We talked a little bit about football. We talked about food. We talked about, you know, Thanksgiving. We talked about plans, blah, blah, blah. Probably not a whole lot of conversation sitting around the table talking about what sin struggle you had this week or when you got out of the car today to come into church, right? Right? But isn't it true? It's hard to confess your faults one to another, right? Like we like to say it like this, isn't it true? It's nobody's business to know my business. That's what we like to say. Here's the only problem with that. James chapter number 5, verse number 16. And it says, Christians, right? Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And listen to this line. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And I just want to pull this together because listen, what James is saying is, it is the business of the community of Christ that you belong to, your church, to know your business. I didn't think I was going to get an amen right there. Right? Like, if we're living in biblical community, James says, confess your fault. Who was he talking to? The church. Right? Listen, he says, confess your faults one to another. So he says, it's our business as the church people to be in your business. Now, let me just give you a couple of things. First of all, isn't it true that we have no problem confessing our sins to Jesus? But we have major issues confessing our faults to one another. And I want to just give you a caution. I always give you this caution, but I'm just going to do it one more time. You don't share your stuff with everybody. Right? You share your struggles with a few close people who are further along spiritually than you are. Right? Right, and so let me just give you a couple of things. So that's the first thing. You need to know who you need to talk to, because how many know some people, they want to know your business so they can tell everybody your business. And that's not your business, right? Right? Your business is to actually try to help them. Like we share with someone or somebody comes to you and says, hey, I'm struggling with this. What we need to do is help them to be involved in overcoming the struggle. We need to come alongside them and pray for them and help them overcome, right? How many know when you actually confess your sins one to another, that means when you invite somebody into your life, you're getting extra help? You ever need extra help in school, right? I was never good at algebra. Come on, somebody. I'm like, the ABCs are over here and the 1, 2, 3s are out over here. I don't care. X is not in the equation. Like, X doesn't belong. Right? Like, I had to have extra help because I still to this day, I don't, like, why we got ABCs and 1, 2, 3, like, and now we got Common Core. That's a whole different thing, right? I'm just like, what? Right? Can I just tell you, when you confess your sins one to another, you get extra help to overcome your struggle, right? You understand that, listen, when you confess your sins to somebody else or your faults to somebody else, you got somebody to know that you're not the only one struggling, right? That they can help you, right? You're not fighting alone. And here's the deal. That's why church is so important, because we need each other to pray for each other, right? We need people that we can share with our struggles, and because they can keep you from sinning. Isn't that right? How many know you don't have to just confess after, but if you confess your faults to somebody, right? Caleb's in my line of sight here. If he confesses his fault to me, or if I confess my faults to him, then he can, when I'm tempted to do something foolish, he can get in my face and say, man, you know better than that. Before you do something foolish. Right? If somebody knows you're struggling with alcohol, they can get on the phone like, dude, I'm about to go to the Twisted Feather. And it's not just, you know, driving through. Come on, somebody. I'm an alcoholic. I'm about to go. And you can have somebody speak into your life and say, no, you know better than to do that. Right? A teenager, like, you know better than to go hang out with those people because you know it's going to be a bad deal. Come on, somebody. I mean, you know, you don't always have to confess after you've blown it. But if you'll talk about the struggles that you have ahead of time, you can call on some people and they can get you focused and say, listen, you know better than to do this. I know you're ready to give them a piece of your mind and you've had enough, but listen, you know, that's not exercising self-control. You know better than to do that. Right, and you can have some people come along and they can help you, right? Before you mess up, when you're tempted, you have somebody to share with. James says this, and here's an interesting thing today. I want you to listen to this, right? Because we get hung up on the confessing our, because that's a hard thing to do, right? But here's what it says. James says, when we share, that the prayers of a righteous person is effective and they can help you overcome. Have you ever put that together? Because he goes, you always talk about confess your sins, and he's like, then goes on this prayer thing. He's like, why? Because when you get people who are praying for you, they will help you overcome all of the things that are keeping you out of step with the Spirit of God. Right? So we have to come to a place where we can admit that we don't have it all together. And that's one of the things, how many know, like, dude, Facebook and Instagram and all these things, like, how many know, like, nobody, right, nobody's, I did this thing one time. I was a youth pastor, and we called In Your Bedroom. And when they were at school, I would go in, their parents would let me come in their bedroom, and I just done videos, and I showed them on Wednesday night, you know, like trying to find the Bible. You know, they're like, oh, I love Jesus. I'm like, where's your Bible? Like, I don't know. And so we just made, it was a big funny thing. It wasn't a bad thing. You know, some people, well, today it would be like invading people's privacy. Back in the olden days, we were just having fun, right? Like, that's what we call it, right? But, isn't it true? Like, listen, when you let people in, like, nobody's posting on Facebook what your living room looks like right now, right? Come on, somebody, right? If somebody's coming to your house, how many know nobody's going to sit there and say, oh, it's fine. If they're coming to your house, you're going to immediately get up and go hide what needs to be hidden. And I'm not saying bad things, but how many know laundry, right? We aren't. Okay, honestly, you know, confession's good for the soul, bad for the reputation. You can go to our house, our living room right now. We are blanket people, right? It's that time of year. So listen, go to my couch, and there are blankets on the couch. Not folded, right? Go to my house. We have a love seat. You would think we put people there. Nope. That's where the girls' socks go in the laundry basket. Perfectly clean socks. Right? Nobody's posting that on Facebook. We got the perfect house. Christmas is coming. You're not going to show your Christmas tree like this way and looking like it's the, no, we got the perfect family. Because it's hard to confess that we don't have it all together. But here's the deal. We're going to stay in bondage and struggle and secrets until we decide to admit that, hey, we don't have it all together. Right? We don't have it all together. So the first thing is we share openly. The second one that Paul would say, I think, is this, that we confess continually. And we know you confess Jesus as Lord of your life one time, right? And you invite Jesus into your life, but how many know it's not a one-and-done thing? Confession is not a one-and-done thing. Because why? Because we're not done sinning. Isn't that right? Like, wouldn't it be awesome if we just said, okay, Jesus, come into my life, and I never sinned again? But how many know, if you don't know what you've done wrong, there is somebody to tell you. Right? Like, because we're all, the Romans says, we're all sinners and fall short of the glory of God, right? And so we all are still dealing with some kind of struggle. And the longer, now listen, here's what I need you, that's not a license to continue in your sin. How many know, the longer you serve Jesus, the more sensitive you should be to his spirit. And the less you should be sinning, right? Right? But we do still struggle with sin. We still, contrary to what we like people to believe, like, man, I got it all together. I mean, we still sin. We still go out. We still don't have self-control sometimes. We still have bad attitudes, like all that kind of stuff. Here's what Proverbs 28, verse number 13, it says, okay? And again, this is a challenging verse if we don't just read it, but we actually listen to it, okay? It says, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper. Can we let that rest for a minute? Because here's what I know. A lot of people like to keep secrets, like the sins in the secret place. And he says, as long as you do that, you're not going to prosper. Now, I'm not talking necessarily financially. How many know, like, spiritually you won't prosper? Like, there's a whole, like, and so this whole idea of sharing and confessing is a huge deal, right? But the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. So we've got to confess our sins, right? We confess our sins to God. We don't have an issue with that. But then he says we got to renounce our sins. Like, confess means that we admit that we've done it, right? Here's what the dictionary version says. It says this, admit that one has committed a crime or is at fault in some way. Confession is this. This is really, really simple, but not many of us do it very often. It's simply saying, it was me. Like, nobody else did it. Nobody made me do it. I chose it. I did it. Because how many know we like to play the blame game? Isn't that right? Right? I did this because my wife. I wouldn't have said that, but my wife smarted off. I wouldn't have done that, but the pastor did this. I wouldn't have done that, but my boss was being a jerk that day. Right? Like, right? So it's not when you get caught, like, we don't take responsibility for, like, man, you just had a bad attitude. You just said something that was not right. Like, we don't like to take ownership of that, right? And listen, that goes back to the garden, right? Remember Adam? I mean, think about this. He says, what did he say? He gets caught. He sins in the garden. What does he say? It's the woman that you gave me. And he's like, God, you gave her to me, so it's kind of your fault too. Right? Isn't that what we do? It's like, dude, I mean, like, yo, like, God, I wouldn't be so, yo, I wouldn't spend so much money, but like, yo, you blessed me with a job and you gave me these desires. And he also gave you the, you know, a spirit of self-control, but like, right, come on, somebody, right? But like, but you gave me these desires, so if you didn't want me to do it, then what, right? Isn't it easy to start blaming, right? Confession is just saying, I did it. Because here's the deal. If we don't confess, let me know, here's the circle that you get in. This is the hamster wheel you get in. It's lie after lie after lie after lie. Right? Because you have to make up a reason why you did, and you lie about, well, you know, no, I really didn't. You know, I didn't. Right? So we can confess and get back in step with the Holy Spirit. The best thing you can do is confess and say, I did it, and stop trying to hide it. Just confess it, right? Like, I did it. I failed. I was out of line. That's not who I want to be. And not just confess to Jesus, because that's honestly kind of easy, which is kind of weird, because how many know, like, Jesus is a whole lot more powerful than anybody in this room. So we actually should have more of a fear of God than fear of anybody, what anybody in this place says, right? But how many know, sometimes it's just hard to do that, right? Isn't it true? Like, it's hard to keep that, like, we flip it. But yeah, have you ever seen some of these pastors? Sometimes they'll fall and they'll be caught in, you know, an affair or embezzling money or whatever, and they'll be on a talk show or something like, no, I wasn't there, blah, blah. And you're just like, you're screaming at the TV, like, we all know you did it. Just confess that you did it. Because here's what happens when you confess that you did it. That opens up, God will forgive you. Then guess what? Then if God forgives you, then the people of God will say, hey, you know what? If God can forgive you, then I can forgive you, right? And like people could come back together instead of having to go someplace else and get their feelings hurt and doing this. But here's the deal. That doesn't happen unless we confess, right? Is that helping anybody tonight? Is it hurting anybody tonight besides me? All right, number three. Renounce decisively. Renounce decisively. Again, Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 13 says, whoever conceals his sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. So here's the secret. Okay, and this is hopefully this will help some people tonight. Okay. We have to both confess and renounce our sin. We have to both confess our sins and repent of our sins. Like, turn our back on our sin, right? And we know when we renounce our sin, we're actually forsaking our sin and saying, man, I'm done with it, right? When I married Michelle in 1995, December 16th, 1995, I got in front of my church family at the time in Midland, Texas, and the pastor essentially said this, do you take this man to be your husband, and Jeff, do you take this woman to be your wife? And at that moment, and sometimes, depending on how the ceremonies, you can't even tell about marriage ceremonies anymore because people say all kind of weird things or whatever. But you remember back in the olden day, it was like, forsaking all others, I take this person. What does that mean? That means I'm not dating any, like from this day on, December 16th, 1995, from this day on, I'm not dating anybody but Michelle. I'm not having any other relationships with any other woman other than Michelle. Like, I've forsaken everybody else, right? I'm committed to Michelle alone. And listen, when we renounce our sin, it's a continual decision to say no to sin, right? Let me say it this way. When we said yes to Jesus, we said no to everything outside of Jesus, right? So here's the deal. Like, why am I not going off on my boss? Because I'm following Jesus. Why am I not getting angry all the time? Because I'm trying to follow Jesus. Because I'm forsaking that. Am I pursuing it? It's not because I'm trying to be a good person or I'm trying to uphold my reputation. It's because of, listen, we're trying to manage all that stuff. Let me know, that's just really, really confusing. If we'll just do what we do out of a love for Jesus, because we're trying to follow Jesus, right? That's why we do that. Like, I'm just trying to follow Jesus. I'm forsaking all of that stuff. I'm renouncing my sin. The reason so many, and listen, here's what I need you to hear. So many people live in defeat spiritually is because we confess to Jesus, but we never renounce. We come to church on Sunday and we confess, but we don't ever renounce. God, I'm sorry, but I'm probably going to do it again. Right? Right. Anybody else struggle with Amazon over COVID? Anybody? Right? Like, you know, purchase, right? Like, going through our neighborhood, dude, like, listen, like, they better have a Ring doorbell. That's all I'm saying. One that, like, has a video surveillance, because it looks like Christmas. Like, it's not even December, and it looks like Christmas at everybody's house, right? Because, like, it's just easy. Like, dude, I know I shouldn't. I can't afford. Ding! Right? It's just easy to do. The reason so many people live is they confess it to Jesus, but they don't actually renounce it, right? Because they're like, I know I shouldn't. God forgive me for spending too much money on this thing that I didn't really need to impress people I don't even like. Bye now. Right? Like, that's so true of how it is, right? Can I just be... Just give you some more examples here tonight. Listen, if you confess the affair, but you still have her number, you didn't renounce. Right? If you've confessed an inappropriate relationship, but you're still texting, You didn't renounce. Right? Like, oh, good. Nobody's doing an affair. Okay. If you confessed your porn addiction, but you won't spend the $15 a month to put a filter on your computer so your spouse can know everything you're doing on the computer and on your cell phone, then you didn't renounce. If you don't have an accountability partner who says, hey, listen, I'm gonna check on you and I'm going to ask you the hard questions, then you didn't renounce. It's easy to confess. It's a whole different step to renounce, right? If alcohol is a stronghold in your life and you decide, well, I'm just going to still go over to this party and they drink, but I don't have to drink because they do it socially, but I don't have to be, you haven't renounced. Because you're putting yourself in a place that is not a good place for you. Right? Sometimes we struggle with our sin because we keep feeding it. Right? We keep feeding it just a little bit. We like to keep it around, but we don't ever actually totally renounce it. I was praying this afternoon, and this phrase just come to me just with some things that I personally deal with. You can't renounce once you continually rehearse. Think about that. You can't renounce what you continually rehearse. I'm just thinking in my own life and just in things in relationships. And like, how many know, like, sometimes the reason we can't ever renounce it is we keep rehearsing the hurt that somebody put in our heart. Anybody? Like, we keep rehearsing everything that they ever done, and they did that, and we can't let it go because it's on rewind. Right? And so sometimes we just got to say stop, right? Acts chapter number 3, verse number 19 says this, repent then and turn to God that your sins may be wiped out and times of refreshing may come. Listen, we got to be people who are continually saying, you know what? I'm going to do something different. I'm going to confess. I'm going to renounce. And number 4 is we're going to chase constantly. Chase constantly. How many know we got to continually chase after Jesus? Psalm chapter number 63, verse number 1, it says this, you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you with my whole being, longs for you, and in dry and parched places, a land where there is no water. Let me say this, we become what we chase. Did you hear me? We become what we chase. And I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again tonight. We're the average of the 5 people we spend the most time with. And this is important. And here's why. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, it says, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not earthly things. How many know the people that you hang around with, like, that's where your attention goes? Come on, somebody. The people you habitually associate with will determine 95% of the success or failure in your life. Isn't that right? You see it in high school all the time, right? Sometimes we wonder, and I'm going to close, and we're going to have some fellowship time tonight a little bit, but I want to pray. But we wonder why we struggle with anger and lust and gossip and unforgiveness and complaining and all of these other sins and things that pull us down. And it's the reason is because we position ourselves around it. Isn't that right? Like, I don't understand. I don't want to gossip. But you hang out with gossips. Call somebody. I don't want to complain. But you hang out with complainers. We were out last night. Michelle and I went to Alexandria and went to get some coffee at Starbucks at Albertsons. And there were some people. Michelle went to get some hams. And I was getting the coffee. And there's some lady sitting around the table, and it was just this constant, what are they going to do? Fire me because blah, 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 blah. And the other one went, what are they going to do? Blah, blah. Just sitting there like lambasting the whole company, like back and forth, griping. Like, why? They were feeding on each other. Oh, I forgot. That makes me mad too. Oh, I forgot. They did that too. And it was this, and it's like, dude, and I'm just thinking, you know why we struggle with this? Because we constantly put ourselves in position for that. And we tell our teenagers that all the time, right? Bad company corrupts good morals. How many know bad company will destroy you spiritually? Right? Because we feed off of it. Like, well, I'm discouraged. And how many know discouragement breeds discouragement. And that's not like we're all going to have those seasons. But listen, if you constantly just put yourself in places where we have discouragement and we only have, you know, and we put our, and we surround that. Here's what I wrote down. And this, again, just as praying this afternoon, our associations soak into us. Our associations soak into us. So we got to constantly listen. If I want to be a, if I want, I want to be filled with Jesus. How many know you got to be associate? Like he's got to be. My heart is on him. My mind is focused on him. My attention is focused. Right, right. Have you ever been going someplace and like you just like I used to be really bad about this. Honestly, when I first started ministry, like I would just go. I would have a job to do on Sunday morning. And I just go walk to the job and I walk past the real job because I thought my job was to turn on the lights and get the air conditioner right. And I walk right past the people that God was there to meet with Jesus that day that God wanted me to talk to. Come on, somebody. Right. Because I thought, man, dude, this is my job. And like God's like, no, the people are your job. Right. So sometimes we can get our focus wrong, right? You can be so focused on this that you miss what God's trying to do, right? And I think sometimes we do that. We wonder how come we struggle with the same situations and the same, like, dude, everybody's so discouraged. It's like because we're putting ourselves in a place where all that people talk about is discouraging things. Did you know that good things are happening, right? Like God is moving. God's touching hearts. God's drawing people. Like there's a whole lot of bad, right? But how many know like it's really easy just to talk about, well, all the bad, right? You know, the government, and COVID, and blah, 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 and just sit around and we just sit around and talk. And then we just wonder, how, like, I don't understand why I'm so depressed. Because we positioned ourselves where our attention is only on that stuff instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to chase after Jesus. So how do we keep in step with the Spirit? We share openly. We confess continually. We renounce decisively. Chase constantly. And then I just want to read a couple of verses and then we're going to close. 2 Chronicles chapter number 30, verse number 9. It says, for the Lord your God is gracious and compassionate. Aren't you glad? Right? Aren't you glad we can have the same struggle that Paul had? But he's gracious and compassionate to us that we can overcome, right? He will not turn his face from you if you return to him. Like if you're, man, God, I got angry again. He's not going to say, dude, Caleb, that's the last time. Right? He's not even a God of second chances. Because how many know he's given us more than second chance, right? He continues to be gracious to us. Romans chapter 7, verses 24 and 25, it says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? This is Paul speaking. He says, thanks be to God who delivers me through Christ Jesus our Lord. As we'll keep our eyes focused on him, if we'll keep on chasing him, right? Are we still going to have struggles? Absolutely. But I'm just telling you, Paul gave us some things tonight. Like, dude, if we will start doing this, like, this is gold if we will start doing it, right? And sometimes it's the simple things, right? Like, dude, I didn't even think. My associations are soaking in. That's why I have a bad attitude, right? My associations are, right? Like, because, like, I'm putting myself, instead of my attention being on chasing Jesus, I'm getting distracted by all this stuff. Anybody ever do that? Christmas time, you start, like, what do you want? I'm like, right? You start, you know, you ask your kids that, you ever, and they're like, they got a billion things. Can I just tell you, that's what Satan likes to do. He likes to get us caught on those little bitty trinkets of things that don't matter. Instead of saying, you know what, Jesus, it's all on you. My eyes, my heart, and my attention is on you. So.